did like the interaction when I come, because, like I said, the chat room on Twitch is so much easier.
Right.
The way it scrolls like a chat room should.
Well, that's okay. You brought your own Lubriderm.
It's frozen.
I'm gonna try and not yawn this whole time. Why am I so sleepy? Oh, it's because I have a. I don't. I have a coffee maker in the storage unit. People can't hear you. You got to talk in the mic.
And I'll bring that up on air. Can I do that? And be like, this is what I want for my 2018 contract. I want a coffee maker.
Do it in the bonus. So, because I want to make this pretty as generic as possible. Because it's going to be kind of a 101, you know, like, here's the about We Are Libertarians. Yeah. I didn't wake up before 11. Any day on vacation except for the 2 days I helped my dad do construction cleanup, doing manly things. And now you're a man. Man. And now we're just waiting on Harry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I couldn't remember, but, you know, really, you know. I've been doing like a... some jobs on Upwork. A lot of them don't pay a whole bunch, but they're so quick.
Right.
They're like potato chips.
Yeah, so you can knock them out real quick.
Right.
What?
You're bumping because I locked that door.
Did you alert the police that we're live streaming?
Man. You know what was scary when they really got into that whole story? That guy had nothing to do with Call of Duty or any game.
Like what? He was just a friend of theirs or something?
No. No, the two dudes were beefing on Call of Duty. He's like, give me your address. I'll soon blah, 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 F with you. And he just gave some random address.
Weird.
Yeah. That's the worst part about it, right? And like, the thing is, like, I feel horrible for that family because that family just lost a dad. And I feel also horrible for that cop. The cop went to the situation thinking it's this hostage situation. And he ended up going and I think he's going to go in there and save some people, be a hero, and he went home a murderer.
Right. Yeah, that was a shitty story.
You know? And a lot of people are like, man, that cop is like, should not have fired it. Yeah, but like, if you're thinking you're going in this type of situation, dude, his elevation's low. He's on high.
Right.
He's on high alert. I don't fault him. I feel bad for him. You know, and I just...
Right.
And it's so awful. And it's... that he was, one, put in that situation because people want to do this swatting thing.
Right. Which I don't get why that would be a funny joke. You know, it would be hilarious if I call the cops and say they should deliver a SWAT team to somebody's house.
I don't get why it's funny either. There's so many other things you could do to someone online that's funny.
Right.
This is not one of them.
Like meat spin?
Yeah, meat spin.
You ever meat spin? Meatspin.cc? Go look it up.
Oh, I've looked it up. I've gotten up to 800 spins, okay?
800? You amateur. When Vibbert worked at, in the, about earlier last year, I will say this year. Earlier this year, no, it was last year, we had an intern, and he'd always prank me with meat spin.
Good job, meat spin. I got hit with a Rickroll yesterday.
What is this, 2009?
I know, I was like... I just clicked on it, like, hey, you gotta look at this image. I was like, did I just get Rickrolled? It's 2018!
It's the current year!
My own fault. I should have looked before I clicked.
What are you doing?
Now I'm trying to warm up my Lubriderm.
Harry's lubing up his Warmerderm. Wait, what?
Trying to use my CPU to heat it up so I can so my lotion.
Put it between your legs.
That's too cold.
That's too cold. Tuco.
Freaking Twitch. Logged me out of my Twitch account. I'm streaming this on Twitch. The hardcore. Oh, crap. Oh, we'll just do that. I'll look at it later.
Where's Stone going? Stone, you get back here, you little bastard.
What? Was Stone in the...
Stone was in there, and then he just left.
And he left? He's like...
Well, he saw Lubriderm, so, and, you know, he's like 18, like, so when he sees, when he hears Lubriderm, it gets him all worked up.
He's like, oh, I gotta go get mine.
All right, you about ready?
I've been trying to stay off of Facebook until I get up to 50 notifications.
Facebook is a cesspool?
Which, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. It is a cesspool.
I hate it.
Yep. Yep.
All right, talk in your hairy voice. How are you really going to talk?
I'm going to talk like this the entire time. Oh, actually, I'm gonna try to talk like this.
Okay.
It's only recently I really started noticing like my voice changes per episode, which is weird.
Why?
I don't know. I subtle changes. Subtle.
Are you becoming a man?
I'm a Superman. Okay. Man.
All right, here we go.
Hold, what?
You ready?
Are we live?
Yeah, we've been live the whole time. I told you we were going live. I warned you this time. Welcome to... Whoa,
that's cold.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We bring you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves while putting people before political parties. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective with the goal of leaving you better informed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and subscribe on Patreon at WeirdLibertarians.com. In exchange for supporting our program, we give you all kinds of bonus content and free stuff. Seriously, if you like this show, if you subscribe for $5 or more a month, you dang near get an entire extra episode of this show a week. This show is crowdsourced, so you can send us news with the hashtag WALpolitics or in our Facebook group and Discord channel, which you can find at WeAreLibertarians.com. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. Please be warned that this show is raw, unedited, and authentic, so the language is sometimes strong and offensive. We're going to describe what this program is and is not today. We're going to give you a little about us and just kind of catch everybody up to speed here on the program and what it is. And my co-host for the Tuesday nights posted on Wednesday episode is Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm tired. Sleepy.
You've been off for an entire fortnight, and you're sleeping.
I've been off for 2 weeks since I had December 15th through the 2nd off, and today was we're back to work today, and I didn't wake up before 11 on any day on vacation, except I had to wake up at 7 today, so I am sleepy. My clock is basically like, go to sleep at 2, wake up at 2. So work always wears me out. So yes, I am sleepy today. How was your break?
Let's see. It was okay at first. It was like I was seeing news stories, was venting to everyone else around me. then about the second week, they got annoyed with me, and you know, my sister, my family, my friends stopped picking up the phone. So I just had to, like, you know, I had to get that out.
I
turned into a pressure cooker.
You did a 4-hour show on Twitch, which we posted for our Patreon subscribers.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to hold it all in. Like, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it the next Tuesday, and I did not make it.
You had a lot in. You had held a lot in. I didn't watch a ton of news on the break. So every December when I take vacation, I take vacation from this, from work, from everything. I spend the first week just vegging. I ate like absolute garbage for the first week. I felt miserable because I ate so much bad food. It was great. And then the second week, I'm like, I better start doing stuff. And I start doing stuff. And then by Saturday, I'm ready to get my life back and, you know, back to normal. So it's always good. I am well rested. I'm just sleepy because I had some time to just kind of chill and watch some TV before this, and I'm tired. But we're back, and it is the first show of the new year of 2018. And I feel like with that, over the break, there were some changes to We Are Libertarians, as there always are. Mm-hmm. I'm always tweaking, always trying to get the most effective organization I can out of this, and I feel like we have the right fit, we have the right formula, we have everything kind of where I want it for this election year, and I'm very happy about it. And we haven't done a show that is kind of an about this show. If you're a longtime listener, you're still going to get stuff out of this. But this show is really for those new people who are kind of new to the program, who don't understand what this is. I want, and for all of our new listeners in the future, let's say this is 2024 and you're scrolling back the feed, and you're like, I wonder, what are the 10 principles of We Are Libertarians? Well, that's what this show is going to be about. We're going to talk about the 10 principles of We Are Libertarians, which I wrote on break the first week as I was kind of chilling out at home, and I grew increasingly frustrated with the big We Are Libertarians Facebook page through the end of last year, as I tried to post a lot of news and political insight and commentary, and they don't want that. and so I just got – people just kept getting confused about, well, you guys are just alt-right, and then there'd be – well, you guys are just left libertarians. You guys are just stupid. All right, that last one that. Could be. But so I wanted to just take – so I just was like, you know what? I want a statement of principles. I want the idiot's guide to We Are Libertarians. So people understand there's always going to be those drive-by commenters, those people who give no thought to what you've posted. They never read your article, never watch your video, and then they just make a comment based on whatever dumb thing is in their head. And those people are idiots. And for those people, when they try to bring up a stupid point, I want to give our great commenters, the very good commenters and the fans and friends of the show, a guide as to what we really believe. I just kind of wanted to lay it all out there. So I wrote this up. Wrote up a little ditty, and I also created a completely new brand. See, so when I just was thinking, you know, what I've really learned over the last 3 months, especially as I've dived back into the show prep, it's not that I didn't do show prep, but not like I'm doing now, where it's 20 to 30 hours a week, and it's very intense. And there's a lot of output from all the news articles that people like Harry read and I read and everybody who's involved in We Are Libertarians and our community that we've got. There's a lot of information that kind of bubbles up as you are preparing to put a show together. And I had been posting that show prep to our Facebook page.
Yes.
Well, what's the problem with that, Harry?
A lot of people, just like you said, don't read the article. They just read the headline. Or since – and if it and another one comment is, this has nothing to do with libertarianism.
Exactly. Harry gets it. Yeah. Harry, my dog.
Yeah. It's why another reason we're like, I hate going to the Facebook page. Like, oh, and a lot of people go like, hey, won't you swear the Twitch feed? It's like, no. Those people are – no. I will go to the group and the Discord, but
right.
I will leave the main Facebook page alone. It's cancer sometimes.
So there's a problem with the interface is that it's designed for arguing. It's not designed for informing. It's not designed for depositing show prep or thoughtful comments based on my 15 years of media reporting and politics. I guess I should probably introduce myself. Like, here's my expertise, okay? Here's why I feel I am qualified to comment on politics, on American politics. I was obsessed with it as a kid. I'm 34 as of this recording. And I remember skipping a movie while my family went in to watch a movie. I listened to the impeachment trial on the local NPR station of Bill Clinton. I went in sixth or seventh grade to the trip to Washington, D.C. and just stood on the Lincoln Memorial and fell in love with the city and politics. In 2002, I wrote like a 300-page guide of how American politics works. I just always loved it. I've always been obsessed with it. But I started volunteering for campaigns in 2002 and worked within the Republican Party in low-level volunteer positions, some low-level paid staffing positions, and realized like, oh, they're stealing our yard. Like, The gubernatorial candidate was stealing the candidate signs of the congressional race I was working for. They were both Republicans. That's when I went, and then they admitted it. And then they were like, well, here's why we have a political reason to do that. And that's when I went, oh, maybe it's not all romanticized. Maybe it's all crooked. And so, yeah, I was president of the College Republicans in 2004 and went to CPAC 2003. So I was like a little, you know, diehard Republican. And then I went to work at a news talk station as a reporter, producer, and spent 4 years there. And a guy named Abdul Hakim Shabazz, along with the congressional candidate I worked with named Andy Horning, completely blew my little Rush Limbaugh mind. And I went, oh, okay, this is I've never heard the word libertarian, but this seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But I still kind of was more of a centrist. I kind of became politically homeless by 2007, I would say. But through those 4 years that I worked at the radio station as a reporter, I saw on the local level how politics actually worked. And I worked with somebody who's a very smart man in Abdul, who really taught me a lot. And I had a lot of conversations with elected officials. And I just saw like both sides, because I still thought in terms of left and right, really just didn't – they were the same sides of – what's the phrase?
You know,
two sides of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Each wing, same bird, one bird.
Exactly.
Two wings, one bird.
And so I started looking around. I flirted with Barack Obama as he was thinking about running for president. I flirted with Mike Huckabee. Like, I was politically homeless. And then I saw Ron Paul. And I was like, that's my man. That guy's articulating what I believe. I get it now. And so I then went on to get a job offer because I started talking to the Libertarian Party of Indiana saying, what's wrong with you guys? They said, well, we don't have an executive director, but we can't really pay anybody that much. I was like, I'm making $17,000 a year at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Can you beat that? And they're like, we can give you 20. I'm like, oh, big money. Yeah. So I then spent 4 years working with hundreds of candidates and county parties as the full-time executive director of the local Libertarian Party here in Indiana, traveled the state, had extensive experience at the national level too, left there to go work at the at an ad agency where my client was the Advocates for Self-Government. I was essentially the marketing director of the marketing arm of the libertarian movement because they're the quiz people. Mm-hmm. Spent a year trying to figure out, my mandate was, how do you take Hitler to a libertarian within 2 minutes? What's the process that you put someone through to get even Hitler to decide that he's a libertarian?
Mm.
Which is a really impossible thing.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah.
Very authoritarian.
Right. Well, so how can you make somebody see the light in 2 minutes? And I spent a year working on that project, and it was such a great year to learn political messaging and to figure things out. Then now I work at a major radio show as the digital director, and we've done this for 6 years. It's overlapped everything since 2012, all those jobs. And We Are Libertarians has always kind of been my playground to figure out digital stuff and growing a platform, growing a show. But it's the great culmination of all these different experiences that I've had. And I love doing this. And we have a great community after 6 years. We are in the top 1% of all podcasts globally because we have so many listeners, which is amazing to me. And, you know, this is the experience that I've built over 15 years. And I really try very hard to spend a lot of time prepping for this show. And if it comes out of my mouth on this show, I try to vet it. I try to fact check it. I try to make sure that I give all sides of an argument. I try to give you a fair look as well as what's best for liberty and libertarianism and freedom. And, I'm not always right. You should fact check me just like you should fact check any media outlet. But mm-hmm. I do have experience with all this. So it is irritating to me to go onto We Are Libertarians Facebook page, have a comment that I feel is backed up by my experience and my effort and the time that I have put into writing that thing, to have it torn apart by somebody who has spent literally 0.1 seconds thinking about the actual issue. They're just commenting. That reflex that we all have, and I do it too, on social media is very dangerous when it comes to politics, because politics is life or death for so many people. It is an incredibly important thing. It is not nerd sports. It is in a way. Like, we treat it like nerd sports. Who's going to win this race? Where's the horse race going? All that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it is about who is managing government, which is an entity that kills people.
Yeah, pretty much.
And uses force to steal people's stuff and kill them, if not done right. And so what this show is really about is trying to determine what is the truth, trying to find where the bullshit is. I try not to cuss too much, but that's the best word for it. Trying to break down propaganda and lies in our politics from the left and the right, and trying to make you smarter when you're talking to your friends so you understand more. So that's really what this show has become about because of these experiences that I've had. So that's where I'm coming from. Did I miss anything?
That sounds about, you know, your entire experience for this.
Yeah.
But and your reaction to posting anything on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and so I just, as a guy who's spent my career using social media, and that's become my expertise, that's why I've been able to work in a bunch of different, like in radio, in local advertising and politics, is because I specialized in social media.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, you know as well as I do, social media at this point is really more of a detriment than it is a help, and it just doesn't really do much in terms of building a platform anymore.
Correct, yeah. It's very hard right now to, if you wanted to go out and do a YouTube page or a Facebook page, you're not going to get the growth that it was, what, like 4 or 3 years, 5 years ago, yeah. It's nowhere near it as it is anywhere. Like, just like you were saying, like on YouTube, that you can't get your video reviewed until you have, what is it, like you said, like 1,000 subscribers?
So I managed to get our YouTube monetization freed up, but they had turned off monetization automatically because, and I had to have 1,000 views on a video, which we normally don't get on YouTube. Mm-hmm. To even appeal the decision. And so YouTube just assumed, Google just assumed that we were a Nazi outlet, mm-hmm. because we're not progressives.
Right.
You know, it really isn't even about progressive. It's
or they're in conservatives.
Right. It's if you're establishment, if you're independent media, you're hosed. But if you're connected to CNN or some big corporation, then you're fine.
Yeah, and it just shows you how connected the Young Turks are now. They used to be this independent organization. They're not anymore.
No.
No, they're establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like, all your establishment is bad. For those who've listened to the show, no, it's like, it just means you've showed up. You've done it for a while.
Sure.
Just like Cenk has done good for his platform. I don't agree with Cenk, but I'm just saying he's done good. He's done good for his brand. The thing that he does, he's done good, and he's built it up so he has become the establishment, whether he likes it or not. He's not independent. He's the establishment now.
In many ways, I look at people like the Young Turks and Ben Shapiro, mm-hmm. and even Glenn Beck to some respect in terms of building your independent media outlet. Yeah. How do you do that? What are they doing that's right or wrong? And they're established names, and so it's easy for them to get the leg up on these big platforms, mm-hmm. but not for smaller independents like us.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and it's weird almost now to think of the almost Glenn Beck's network and the Blaze is like, wow, this is going to become the establishment. This almost is the establishment conservatives on the internet. You know?
Oh, post a link to Glenn Beck on any social media. Oh, I'd take this seriously if it weren't Glenn Beck. It's like, okay.
Really?
why don't you listen? I posted an interview with a guy who was a lifelong career man at the Defense Department, who was head of the UFO program, and who seemed very credible to me. And Glenn Beck did a great interview. Nobody listened to it because it was glennbeck.com.
Would have been Joe Rogan.
Right. Exactly. Glenn Beck is libertarian leaning. He is more libertarian than Ben Shapiro.
Yes.
Like listen,
leaps and bounds.
Listen to Glenn Beck when it comes to foreign policy versus Ben Shapiro when it's foreign policy. While he said a lot of crazy stuff in 2010, the man is on TV and radio for 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day. In that much time, there is one instance where I could take anything you say out of context, and I'm sure at the time he was saying that stuff and had a reason for it. Mm-hmm. It's discounting media, it's not just a Glenn Beck thing. It is just this whole notion of writing off entire media outlets. Well, it's the New York Times. I'm not going to listen to them. Like, they're the most authoritative news outlet in the country.
Mm-hmm. And they're print.
Do they make mistakes? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do they have a bias? Absolutely. Does it mean that their voice is worth less? No. They are to be listened to, which we'll get into some of these principles, because it's these principles and this show have come out of my frustration with how independent media operates, how people respond to media in this day and age. And I'm trying to create a community of smarter people. Mm-hmm. And we are very fortunate in our Discord channel, our Facebook group, our listenership, to attract people who want to think critically. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Like, I just decided, like, what's the way to 100,000 likes, 300,000 likes? I don't want that. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I want smart people that are contributing to our community.
Yep, a community, yeah.
And I just am, I don't care about the, I don't want to be famous. I don't care about that. Like, what I care about is having a lot of people listening to my voice, because what I'm saying is different, mm-hmm. and is right. Like, because I've tried to find where the truth lies and figured out what's the best thing for liberty, right? In analyzing current events and news. So that's what I'm trying to do. And so having rethought, like really rethinking a lot of things about how we do stuff, and kind of throwing out what worked 3 years ago to mm-hmm. build this, well, those things aren't working now. And one of those things is, again, social media. Like, Facebook, because of Russiagate, is now, not only are they scared to death of governments, they're now working with governments. Glenn Greenwald at The Intercept today talked about how they're just deleting accounts of the most horrendous people, Chechen warlords. Like, those people, you don't want those people on your platform, but they're doing it to curry favor with the American government. And one of the principles of free speech is that they go after the most horrendous people first. Mm-hmm. And they carve out mechanisms that can then be used to erode everybody's freedom later and nibble away at that cookie till that cookie of free speech is gone. And so it's an interesting conversation with Facebook, but I've really just come to a place where, why am I spending my time and my voice promoting the platforms of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube when they don't care about me? They don't care about our interest as we are libertarians. They don't care about whether our voice matters or not. And why am I building channels on things that I don't own?
Yes, that too.
You know, and so it really...
They could also end at any time.
At any time. And Facebook's considering changing things to putting pages on a tab instead of in your newsfeed. Well, that means you will never see We Are Libertarians or any page that you love mm-hmm. again. And so it's to keep people from using their platforms. Well, that... Mm-hmm. sucks. So we're now back to the 90s where you build channels you own, like your website and your email list. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. And that's why, like, the Discord's a great place for that chat room.
Right.
It's almost like, it almost feels like we're going to be that close that we may have to get these to build us a BBS.
Well, it's always going to be evolving. And so if you as a listener, as a person who loves what we do at We Are Libertarians and likes the information that we give out, If you will sign up for our email list, I'm gonna send you these mm-hmm. thoughts that I have and that other people that write for us have, and news and libertarian leaning stuff that I think is interesting. Sign up for our email list. I'm gonna start sending out emails and posting to our website, and then posting that stuff to social media, because I'm done building channels. Like 5% of your page, you can have 100,000 people on your Facebook page. Max 5,000 people will see your post.
Wow.
There's 100 people that like wall politics right now. Mm-hmm. 5 people saw the post today.
I didn't see any of the posts from wall politics.
Right. And the way around that is, if you like a page, go to the page where you see the like, click the little arrow, and then click see first. and then it'll show up in your news feed. So any page that you like or person that you like, see them first.
Not necessarily. That breaks them. Sometimes that doesn't work. It's a bug in the system.
Right.
I'm doing air quotes with people watching live or listening. Sorry, not people watching live. No. Anyways, yeah. Sometimes that doesn't work. You can do that. Just several different pages I have like that, and you don't see them. They just don't do it. Yeah. And that's the way the beauty of the email list is that you get it all contained there on the list. Mm-hmm. And if anything happens, just like we said, like those platforms die. Let's say, you know, Zuck hangs up his, you know, get upset and deletes Facebook tonight.
Right.
Guess what? That email list, that's your email, and you're like, you can find out where we went, you know? Or if, you know, Google finally shuts down YouTube, because Google shuts down things all the time, even though they're popular,
mm-hmm.
and makes some money. They don't care.
Well, that's why we moved off FeedBurner. I mean, they just, these big companies don't care. I can get a hold of MailChimp. I can get a hold of Bluehost.
Well, like with Bluehost and,
I can't,
and
with Facebook.
MailChimp, what they're using are federated protocols. So, like, that's just email.
Mm-hmm.
You can go anywhere. If need be, you know, you could buy me a bunch of French fries and coffee, and I'd sit there and I'd just boot us an email server up.
Right.
But I'm not doing that. Don't know.
No.
We got MailChimp. But that's just saying, these are federated protocols, so it doesn't do them any good. These are just things that you can go anywhere with. So they have to, you know, they placate to you. When it comes to Google, Facebook, Twitter, it's you have to come to us. Ha, 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 ha. We make the rules.
Well, which is why I have a real problem with people like, GoDaddy and Google and Cloudflare can shut off the Daily Stormer and erase these people from the internet, but should they? The quickest way to not be afraid of a Nazi is to meet a Nazi and listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the quickest way to not be afraid of Nazi ideology is to meet the people who practice Nazi ideology. They're the most pathetic human beings on the planet. People who are KKK members are pathetic human beings. And anytime you're exposed to those people, you realize what a raging piece of crap these human beings are. Like, you should be exposed to these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And you should wrestle with these ideas. Because then, once you do that, and you have a proliferation of ideas, you realize Nazism and communism and KKKism are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make sense.
Right.
And so, when a GoDaddy or a Cloudflare decides to, and every other ISP and it's
server.
not ISP, but server hosting company, thank you, decides to delete the Daily Stormer, well, that in itself is violating the net neutrality pledges that they all uphold. But that's a scary thing, because what if I watch Star Wars, I watch the newer three, the 1, 2, 3 of the saga, you know, and at the end, in the only good one, The Revenge of the Sith, where, you know, he basically turns the Jedi into the bad guys, they're the traitors to the Republic. Well, all that's very, very much based in how human thought and crowd psychology works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that stuff works. You know, we're talking about the, so, anyways, I'm on a tangent now.
The Jedis were dicks.
Mace Windu was a dick. So I three drinks and get political. I am the Senate. So I've done a couple things. First, WeAreLibertarians.com is your home for everything We Are Libertarians and everything libertarian. It is your complete guide to libertarianism. It is your complete guide to all of our podcasts. It will remain that way. This show will not change in any way, shape, or form. Okay, I'm done tweaking the shows. The only change that I might make is I might change this Tuesday show where we do the news recap to the Thursday. So that comes out Friday. News recap on a Friday makes sense. And then Tuesday it's easier to get more co-hosts. So that may be the only change that I do. But the political commentary and the straight political news is now going to Wall Politics. WALPolitics.com. Okay, now why? Why two sites? Why two brands? First, and to be candid, the most important is that if in the future I plan to go cover presidential primaries, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and if I apply to get credentials to a political event as We Are Libertarians, they're going to say no because it's inherently political.
Mm-hmm.
It's inherently partisan. So if it's WAL Politics, they're more likely to give us credentials so we can go to those events. And this is just based on my experience as the media, as an, a person who has issued credentials and been on both sides of that. Like, if you see, if you are a liberal outlet and I want to go cover a Democratic presidential, you know, just to kind of figure out what is going on in these presidential primaries, they're going to say no. But I have a better shot if it's WAL politics. That's the biggest reason. Second reason is that there's two stages. There's multiple stages of being a libertarian. Like, I'm 10 years down the road, so, like, I'm woke as fuck, right? And newer people want to learn philosophy, right?
Yeah.
And they want to learn, you know, even some longer libertarians want to learn, what does Hayek say about this? Or they want stuff that they can share on their Facebook. They want libertarian philosophy stuff. They want... That's what WeAreLibertarians.com is going to do. We're going to share a lot of stuff that is libertarian movement, libertarianism centric. All right?
The red meat.
Exactly. Good for beginners, but also the red meat for what libertarians say about X.
Yeah.
Because what I would get on the Facebook page is, this is embarrassing libertarians. This is not what libertarians think. Well, according to your definition, bro.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sorry, bro.
This is WeAreLibertarians.com is going to be libertarian focused. WALpolitics.com is going to be politics and news that I find interesting and want to share, but not necessarily libertarian. And there will be commentary and stuff like that. So, like today, I posted the article from Glenn Greenwald about Facebook and working with the American government. Not necessarily a libertarian thing, but it's interesting to us who are libertarians, but it might turn off a conservative, let's say, who wants to learn about libertarianism, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Intercept and that Glenn Greenwald's a traitor.
Right here, that's Snowden right. Now. That Snowden had to go to Russia.
So I'm just trying to put things in different buckets instead of keeping them all in the same bucket to maximize the ease of finding information and also growing new libertarians more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what those two websites are going to be. The ChrisSpangle.com website will be more personal stuff, and the Chris Spangle Show will continue to be a hodgepodge of things that I want to talk about but may not necessarily be libertarian or politically related. Or if we just can't fit stuff in here, I might put it in there. So that's the changes that I would ask you to go to WALpolitics.com, sign up for the email newsletter, like the Facebook page, like the new Twitter, like any of that stuff. You know, follow me on Facebook. All the links are in the email newsletter that you can get. And I will be sending that not every day, but several times a week, just sort of at the end of the day. Here's the stuff that I found interesting.
Are the YouTube channels going to change? Or you do like a vlog on there about stuff? Or?
There will be. There are three YouTube channels. There's We Are Libertarians, which will continue to be the full video of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
WAL Politics will be, again, more focused on that brand. And then Chris Spangle, my YouTube channel is whatever I want, right? Okay. Which is, you know, I posted a video of the... Soviet national anthem with me and a babushka, so which was silly, but I thought was funny. So yeah, when I launch any brand, I reserve all of that social media and create all of that social media according to that brand because I'm a brand Nazi.
Got to stay on brand,
right? Exactly. Oh, so that led me to. So that's a little bit about me. That's a little bit about our brands and what we do here. The We Are Libertarians podcast is the most important thing we do. It is the biggest thing that we do. It is going to continue to be the biggest thing that we do. And it has transformed over several years and had many different co-hosts and is more of a round table of people chatting with each other about politics. We do one news recap episode a week where we kind of dive into the big stories of the week and give you our perspective, and then we do one longer form show where we kind of take one subject and talk about it like friends would at a dinner party or hanging around, mm-hmm. you know, talking or at a bar or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what those two shows are. We have other podcasts that you can listen to. Trying to talk Harry into podcasting all the time.
I just get nervous. You know, it's so much easier to do the wall podcast because, you know, Chris picks topics. I research them. I put topics up. He just gives me a yay or nay. I don't have to set a mic up. I don't have to make sure the mic, because I'm kind of tone deaf. I have no, like, if you ever listen to my feed, like, if I'm on Twitch or something like that, and you think it sounds like crap, tell me. I can't hear it. Sounds fine to me.
Right. You know, no, it sounded good.
You know, that's why I always tell people, it's like, this, oh, that sounds perfect. You know, it's, that's another reason why I don't like doing it, because it's like, I don't want to set up a board, I don't want to set up a side. I'd rather just talk in front of a microphone and walk up and just do it. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like...
Let Spangle do all the work. Let that sucker do all the work.
It's like a group project.
Yeah. So, but we have great patrons. If you love our work and you want to support our work... All this stuff that we do, all these websites, all that. I mean, I spent 20 hours building, 20, 40 hours at some point over the break, just building out this new brand and all the stuff that goes with it and making it look pretty and all that good stuff. So, and I get to do all that stuff because I have the resources now to do it, because our Patreon pays for all that stuff. So people who pay $5, $10, well, heck, $1, $5, $10, $25, and $100 a month, that all funds all of this. And you're helping invest in a new media outlet that's doing some cool stuff and will continue to inform you and keep you armed with all kinds of interesting things that you need to know. And in exchange for the content that we give you, listen, somebody's paying for all this. Used to be me paying $500, $600 a month out of my pocket. And then the patrons literally blessed me by taking over the cost of running this. So, and in exchange, we give you like an extra episode a week.
I know.
That is only available on our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's an hour of Harry and I talking
about some of the coolest stuff
feminism and an extra show of some of my favorite podcasters. It's worth the $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So, that being said, I want to talk a little bit, now that we've described what the podcast is, I want to talk about the 10 principles of this podcast, okay? I put it in tens. All good things come in tens, the 10 commandments.
I want you to...
A 10-pack at White Castle.
I left Facebook when I was I was making a 10 commandment meme with you coming down the mountains with this, and then, but comment number, when we get to it, three... When I read someone mention that on the Facebook page, I was like, nope, I'm just walking away from this. Done, left Facebook, I closed Photoshop, I was like, nope, just Discord only.
So these are the 10 principles that I use when putting together a show, when managing our community, when analyzing the news. But mostly, like, here's the prism that I try to look through everything. So, Harry, can you read principle number one, please?
Principle number one. First and foremost, we ask... What is best for liberty? There are many strains of libertarianism, but ours is best defined by David Bowie's article titled Key Concepts of Libertarianism. Our philosophy is determined by these concepts: individualism, individual rights, spontaneous order, limited government, free markets, the virtue of production, the natural harmony of interest, peace. As a result, we believe in capitalism, non-interventionism, and American constitutionalism. Libertarians often term this as minarchism.
Now, you just keep that over there. You did a beautiful job of reading that. Now, Harry is an anarchist, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that doesn't jive with what Harry believes necessarily. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's why it's We Are Libertarians with Chris Spangle, and Harry is my co-host. Right?
Yes.
So Harry is an anarchist. Mm-hmm. But I believe in having many different voices, which we will get to, I think, in the next point. But this is what I believe. I am a minarchist. I believe that... I was driving on New Year's Eve down to Bloomington, Indiana, and I was listening to this debate between an anarchist and a minarchist about self-defense, or national defense.
Okay.
Private national defense versus granting the state the use of force in protecting the nation. The anarchist, Robert Murphy, wonderful man. Mm-hmm. This was a Tom Woods episode that was recent in late 2017 in December. Robert Murphy's brilliant. Tom Woods is brilliant. I have nothing bad to say about them, but Robert Murphy was not convincing in any way, shape, or form. I have a hard time buying into things like national defense and even local defense and courts being administered by, you know, private institutions, okay? So what anarcho-capitalists believe is that you would have insurance and there would be private corporations that would defend the nation. I have a hard time with that. And I think I think his name is Todd, and that episode did a great job of outlining why it just doesn't work. I've had Walter Block, who's one of the greatest libertarian philosophers of the 21st century and 20th century, try to explain private courts to me, and I just couldn't get there. So I am just not an anarcho-capitalist. I'm not an anarchist. And there are a lot of libertarians who are not anarchists. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with a lot of anarchists. They're usually, sometimes, lovely people. A lot of them are assholes. But
oh yeah, yes they are.
So if you believe that there should be some level of the state, and that there should be, you know, that your take, because our fundamental principle is the NAP. All right, the non-aggression principle, which is that. You will not initiate force. You don't initiate force unless force is initiated upon you, essentially.
Last time I brought up the NAP, I got in trouble.
Go ahead. Bring it up. Preach to me your NAP.
No, yeah. But just a clarification, I'm not an ANCAP. I just want to put that out there. Don't put me in there with those right. Black and yellow. I may have black and yellow buttons on. That's because I like the products.
But see, this is the problem with anarchists. This is how you know you're really libertarian. Well, you're too libertarian to claim any strain of libertarianism. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have my own beliefs.
I have my own beliefs.
Right.
Triple black.
I just don't think that works for people. And I think you have to try and give people who are giving you an hour's worth of evaluation, something to hold on to. And so I am somebody who believes in the Constitution of the United States of America. I think it is as close to a libertarian government that you can get that makes sense. I think it is the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic drawn up by the founders and the Bill of Rights are a beautiful statement of what a libertarian government would look like. Now, Roger Paxton of the Lava Flow podcast would argue with me because he'd say any government force is wrong because government is inherently forcing someone to do something they don't want to do. And I understand that, mm-hmm. but I also don't think that that works with human nature.
Currently?
Right.
Currently, yes.
Absolutely.
Currently. And if the United States government was keeping strict with the Constitution, most anarchists could live underneath that type of banner comfortably. Absolutely. And be able to live their life underneath it.
Sure.
It's because, one, you know, most anarchists like will tell you that I'm not going to force you into anarchy. If you don't mm-hmm. want it, that's cool. That's fine with you. If you want to have a government, that's also come. That's also fine. As long as it's voluntary. That's the other thing with it. It's like you voluntarily I'm gonna go in the weeds. But
all right, give me one quick point. Give me the elevator pitch. Go ahead.
I'm just saying is like if you just want limited government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most anarchists was like, that's fine, as long as you do that over there,
right?
You know, and I won't force you to have no government. What I'm gonna have,
right?
But if I'm going to interact with you and play in your system and play your games, I have to play with you, then I have to play by your rules while I'm playing with you.
Right.
That's simply what that is.
And I totally understand that. Yeah. And I understand that any level of government is force.
Yeah.
It is the initiation of force mm-hmm. against an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And it is forcing them to do things that they might not necessarily want to do. And I want to get that to as little as possible.
Well, yeah, that's the way a lot of people would tell me. It's like, well, you'll be warlords will take over the land. I'm like, well, technically, in my belief, there is a warlord. It's just this warlord's, yeah, it's kind of nice. It's got a nice velvet glove and lets me, like, make decisions on how they're going to threaten me.
Right.
But, you know,
so
it's just more of like how you see things and what glasses you put on and how you see it.
Sure. So if libertarians just believe, if I as a libertarian, final point, go ahead.
I'm just saying, and this is what I believe, and that's why I try to leave a lot of that. I bring it up for quick opinions or to put it away because this is a libertarian podcast, and this is what it's about. So, like, I have no problem answering questions and bringing that up, but, like, I try to keep that at the door because this is a libertarian podcast. This is what we're discussing on. You know, an anarchist is position on a lot of politics is kind of moot. You know, who do you care? It's the government.
Right. I find most anarcho-capitalists or libertarian anarchists, they're, well, what is a libertarian? It's the absence of government. Okay, well, that's one definition. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to define it that way, how do you define it? And I feel David Bowes, who is the head of the Cato Institute, which is a very good institute, along with Mises, the Foundation for Economic Education and FI, or Reason, all do great jobs.
Love FI books.
FI is great. Mises is great. Reason is great. Cato is great. Those are great outlets. And David Bowes wrote a book called Libertarianism. It's now called The Libertarian Mind, and it's second version. It's a sort of pretty yellow cover. But in it, he defined it based on key seven principles. What is libertarianism based on seven principles? And I felt that it was just very clear. It was a very clear statement of what libertarians believe beyond just the absence of government. And first and foremost is individualism. So everything that how I view culture, politics, everything is what is best for the individual. As he says, we see the individual as the basic unit of social analysis, and only individuals make choices and are responsible for their actions. This is, again, Google key concepts of libertarianism. If you want to read through it, it's great. Every individual has dignity and is important, and it's not societies, it's not the blacks or the whites or the rich. It is every individual. Individualism is number two, or individual rights, number two. Because individuals are moral agents, they have a right to be secure in their life, liberty, and property. These rights are not granted by government or by society. They are inherent in the nature of human beings. So you saw it in the tax debate, where Democrats basically come out and say, oh, well, the government is losing money, and how could you be so selfish, and the rich are getting richer, and they're stealing from all of us, as if 100% of your income, and income really is just another way to measure the output of your labor. When I go to work today and I spend 8 hours, well, let's be honest, 6.5 hours working, That 6.5 hour, four hours of working is the output of my labor. You own that. Mm-hmm. And so 100% of what you make as an individual, the output of your hands or your mind, is yours. They see it as 100% the government's, and then they let you have 40%, and they take 60. So they believe that rights come from the government. It's called positive rights, where the government is the moral agent of good. It, without regulation, you just have robber barons. Whereas libertarians really view it as individuals will act in ways that benefit not only themselves, but also others, because self-interest is a very powerful motivator.
Oh, yes. Yeah. In every system you see it under.
Right,
you know, even communism, you see, you know, like the self-centered motivation that people have on it.
Right,
just like when people try to say, like, well, like this is why you people get greedy and keep money away. Well, you know, those people still exist under communism.
Yes,
you know, they just hoard different things, like food.
It's why Kim Jong-un has 18 houses, but his people are eating bark off of trees. It's because he's just greedy.
Yeah,
they're greedy. They all have interest in wanting to eat. He just has more resources. Because he's stolen from his people.
Yeah, like Hugo Chavez's his daughter is one of the richest people in Venezuela, and why she's out of there. She's
right.
Not there anymore.
So if you have no government directing traffic, essentially, then how would society be organized? Well, it'd be through spontaneous order. Does the government sit down with ducks every day and teach them how to fly in a V? Do roundabouts? You don't need a stoplight to tell you when, even though...
Carmel's putting one up. I just want you to
know. Right. So spontaneous order is sort of an esoteric concept. So let me read this. A great degree of order in society is necessary for individuals to survive and flourish. So you have to have some level of organization in society because we are social creatures, right? It's easy to assume that order must be imposed by a central authority, the way we impose order on a stamp collection or a football team. So you have a general manager. Well, they impose order, and if the GM's not doing well, you kick him out. The great insight of libertarian social analysis is that order in society arises spontaneously out of the actions of thousands or millions of individuals who coordinate their actions with those of others in order to achieve their purposes. Over human history, we have gradually opted for more freedom and yet managed to develop a complex society with intricate organization. The most important institutions in human history, language, law, money, and markets, all developed spontaneously without central direction. Civil society, the complex network of associations and connections amongst people, is another example of spontaneous order. So, let's take English, for instance. Without a central authority to impose English, how did it develop? It developed spontaneously. Our very language is a great example of how humans, in order to survive and flourish, will create these institutions that will allow them to survive and flourish without central authority guiding them. Same with law.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we arrange society in a way that benefits everybody? I mentioned law, the rule of law. Libertarianism is not libertinism or hedonism, he writes. It is not a claim that people can do anything they want to and nobody else can say anything. Rather, libertarianism proposes a society of liberty under law in which, individuals are free to pursue their own lives so as long as they respect the equal rights of others. The rule of law means that individuals are governed by generally applicable and spontaneously developed legal rules, not by arbitrary commands. And that those rules should protect the freedom of individuals to pursue happiness in their own ways, not aim at any particular result or outcome. So what we have in the rule of men currently, well, the rule of law versus rule of men, all right? So King Henry VIII, it was rule of man. King Henry VIII was king, and he what he said went. And he had all the soldiers to back up his word. So he could force you to do whatever he wanted you to do. And that was acceptable in the early days of man. And as time went on, especially over the last 500 years, as people started to realize that they had power, the rule of man started to drift into the rule of law where, okay, we're going to have representatives craft these rules so that those in power can abuse their power and that everybody knows what the rules are. They're all written down, and they're making us as free as possible. And isn't it amazing that as you move from the rule of man to the rule of law, you have more freedom? And when a society drifts back to totalitarianism, they become less free and less prosperous. So we must always be fighting for the rule of law, because I think a lot of times libertarians think that we just exist in a state, like we, because in our minds we just think, well, we exist in freedom and it's not fair that somebody else is imposing their rule on me. And I agree with you. I didn't sign a social contract when I was born. I didn't just wake up and say, I agree as a baby to abide by the laws of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I was born a free man, a free individual who should have been able to chart my own course, good or bad. I am privileged and blessed to live in the United States of America and not India.
Oh, yeah.
Where you still have, in many parts, a very corrupt local government. It's rule of man. It's not as free as the United States. It's not as economically prosperous. But we still have a lot of progress to go. But if you study history, you begin to appreciate your place in history, how blessed you are to afford a phone that will play We Are Libertarians, where two guys can sit in an apartment in Indianapolis, Indiana, and criticize the government, and King Henry VIII and his agents are not going to knock down the door, imprison, and hang us. That's freedom. So let's appreciate that somewhat. And make sure that we leave the next generation. It's just, you know, the tree of liberty needs to be watered by the blood of tyrants. The point was not that you should have a bloody, violent revolution. Thomas Jefferson intended that every generation must learn what freedom means, what liberty means, and then make sure that they leave it better than they found it. And so you, as a listener to We Are Libertarians, you're starting that process here, right? Because we don't advocate violence. That's very far from anything that we ever agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Violence, not just in the political sense, but violence in sort of the indirect sense. You'll hear taxation is theft.
Yes.
Well, Harry, is it... If I put my hand in your pocket, what's it called? And I steal your wallet. What is that called?
It's a theft.
That's theft.
Unless, yeah.
Okay. So it's wrong, morally, for me to put my hand in your pocket and take your money.
Yes.
Because that money, again, is a, is your property based on the output of your labor.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I've got a problem. I want your money. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What is it okay if I have, let's say a guy named Bob is here, and Bob's my friend, and I ask Bob to put his hand in your pocket and take your wallet. Is that morally okay for me to do?
No.
Why?
Because it's still theft.
It's still theft.
Yeah.
But let's say Bob and I, and we're all at a party, and you're there, and we vote on whether or not the money in your wallet is mine or not. And the majority of the people there vote in favor of me. And so they democratically give your money to me. How do you feel about that?
That's a lot of theft there.
Right.
It's a lot of theft.
Okay, so let's say I take your wallet, but I, in exchange for your wallet, I just take your money, I give you your wallet back, and in exchange for the money, I give you, let's say, a bicycle. Is that okay?
I'm going to want a bicycle, and it's theft.
Right. So extrapolate those personal moral values that Harry and I have to a larger society, and then you start to see why taxation is theft and why the rule of law is important. We must agree that these things are not permissible, and it's also why we say a vote is an extension of your values. So I vote Libertarian Party a lot of the time. Why? Because they're closer to the hand being out of my pocket than a Republican or a Democrat. But what if Hillary wins? Well, so be it. My personal moral values, my personal values will not be compromised based on a false choice when another better option is available. So I don't believe in the wasted vote, because a vote is an extension of your values. And for me to say that Donald Trump, somebody that I agree with 50% of the time, is a better moral choice than Gary Johnson, who I agree with 90% of the time, I don't buy that. So it's an extension of my personal values. Limited government. If we are to have government, then it should be limited. It exists only to protect rights. It exists to protect individuals from governments, from it becoming more tyrannical. And we all know that government is a dangerous institution that can grow very quickly. Power corrupts. And so we want to divide and limit power whenever we can. It's why we have 50 states instead of one state. And it's a betrayal to start arguing that the president should have more power, when really we should be arguing that the legislatures and the county seats should have more power than the president, because we have easier access to it. We believe in free markets. You take something like the pencil, okay? The pencil spontaneously grew. There was a need, and people needed to write stuff down. They became more literate. Why did they become more literate? Well, somebody like Vanderbilt comes along. Vanderbilt and Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie and the so-called robber barons of the day changed society for the better by making kerosene cheaper so whales are saved, and you're not using whale blubber so you can stay up longer. The lamp lasts longer, so then you are able to stay up longer and read, and then you start to write more, and people become literate. Well, now we need something to write with. This ink's really messy. What if we had a little piece? Well, the slate writes really well, but my hand gets all dirty. So how can I make the slate, it's slate and the pencil, right?
Graphite.
So this graphite gets my hand all dirty. So what if I wrap some wood around it? Oh, I made a mistake. You know what's really cool? This rubber tree helps me erase the graphite. What if I take this and I put... Well, the rubber comes from South America or Africa or somewhere foreign. It ain't here in Indiana, that's for sure. And the wood comes from Indiana. The graphite comes from South America or Africa or somewhere foreign, and the metal is made in Pennsylvania, and then you wrap it all together. I've just mangled iPencil. I'm sorry, Leonard Reed, but the point stands. Nobody set out one day and said, you know what? I'm going to fly to 8 different continents, if there were 8 continents. I'm doing my Barack Obama, and I'm flying to all 57 states. I'm going to fly to...
You got Atlantis.
Right. Kathmandu. If you... I have this idea for this pencil. I'm going to fly to 3 different continents and build this abstract thing that I'm not really sure about. No. The markets put together the pencil. All right? And if you want a great... You really want to understand this, then look up pencil by Leonard Reed, and it explains it much better than I did. But it's you take this thing, you take graphite, and then someone else down the line wraps wood around it, and then someone else down the line puts rubber on it and wraps some metal around it, and then eventually you have this product that is sold, and that's the market working, okay? Mm-hmm. The iPhone. The iPhone was introduced, touch phones were created, music was put on phones for the first time. I'm literally just trying to make Android people mad right now. Apple created every great piece of technology on the smartphone and revolutionized an entire industry. Mm-hmm. Just by having the smartphone technology, you have Samsung in the market, Google's in the market, you have app markets that are created. Mm-hmm. People, there's jobs created rapidly over the course of 20 years because you have a fast-moving market.
Yeah. The idea of trying to go back to, 20 years ago? Like, I make apps on a device that people carry around their pocket.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The virtue of production essentially goes back to that idea that Harry's money is his because he put time and labor into it, and so therefore the production of his labor is his. And you know, a couple hundred years ago, Harry's labor probably wouldn't have been his back in the day. So, mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Your family was slave traders.
Yeah, and I actually found out one branch of my family, more stuff from my mother, that apparently one of them came over to England in 17 something, because he fought against the United States. He fought for the British side.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, if you take something like a surf,
we branches.
You learned about serfs in 7th grade world history. Well, those people worked for a lord, and those people worked for a king, and the king was at the head of production values. Well, that's not what libertarians believe. We believe that if it comes out of your brain and off of your hands, it's yours. Natural harmony of interests. Essentially, if you want stuff in a libertarian society, you have to treat people well, right? So you have to... have a natural harmony of interest amongst people, productive people, peaceful, productive people, sorry. It's when you start handing out rewards based on a political order where then people start having to take over the government to protect their beliefs and to defend from other people forcing them to bake gay Nazi cakes, right? So, like, that's a very clear example of two people walk into a bake shop. They say, no, I don't want to bake you a cake. They go, aw, walk down the street, go to another cake. Everyone's happy. His beliefs are respected. Their beliefs are they feel slighted. But at the end of the day, they get the product they wanted to buy from somebody that wants to work with them. Instead, now because the government is involved, they're taking their time and the production the value of their production, their money, and using it to sue each other, right, you know? Right. So they're having to defend their beliefs because political power is being used. Mm-hmm. Peace.
Yeah, the force of government.
Peace is very important. This is really the big... You may listen to somebody like Ben Shapiro and go, that's very libertarian. And I agree. I'm a subscriber to The Daily Wire. I like Ben Shapiro, okay?
Ad blocker on point on his website, though.
Right. But the problem is that once you get to, you know, he called Ron Paul an isolationist today, which is my pet peeve. It's every mm-hmm. libertarian's pet peeve. Ron Paul's not an isolationist. Ron Paul believes that you should trade with North Korea and Iran and other nations, or not. I mean, you can say, I don't want to trade with you. That's mm-hmm. your nation's right. But if you did trade with the North Korea, the economic output would be a revolution in their country because they wouldn't be able to steal that much.
Right.
It would raise the lower, it would raise the bottom floor mm-hmm. in those countries. North Korea is isolationist. They won't trade with other countries unless absolutely necessary. They won't allow their citizens to leave or enter the borders. That is an isolationist country. Ron Paul is a non-interventionist. He believes that we are not to get involved in foreign wars and insert ourselves, this idea of American power, for instance. The idea that if there is a civil war going on in Syria, that we are the ones to settle the civil war. Well, maybe we had the ability in the 80s to settle that civil war, but we no longer have that ability. And so we really need to stop trying to project American power onto other people. And the best way to achieve peace is to start focusing on growing our economy and stop focusing on growing the economies of other nations by investing American dollars in foreign aid and selling them weapons and trying to perpetuate war.
Yeah, because when United States does the I'm sending foreign aid or we're going to go over there to dig wells, we're going to go over there to buy them things, you're screwing with their economy.
Right.
Because now no one there locally can do that.
Right.
You just outsourced to like probably someone's family that was doing this.
Yes.
You know, they're out. You know, that farmer that was like, I'm going to make all this money growing all this food. Well, we brought food. Well, no one's going to buy my, $15 corn.
Well, and that's the problem. War, it not only kills people, it destroys things and it disrupts family and economic life. Mm-hmm. It puts hands in the power of the ruling class.
Yep.
It doesn't, it's going back to that Star Wars incident. Yep. You see the greatest accumulation of power by central governments during times of war. Mm-hmm. You see the Bush administration creating this spying apparatus that allows them, quote-unquote, legally to spy on every American citizen, violating the Fourth Amendment. And everyone goes along with it because it's in the name of safety and security.
Yep.
So it's a scourge that should be avoided, and by American power being projected on these other countries, we really make ourselves less safe. And it just is a continuing growth of the industrial military complex, as Eisenhower warned against, that creates a perpetual state of war. So those are some of the foundational principles. I wish I had explained a lot of them better, but I invite you to go read The Libertarian Mind by David Bowes, somebody far more eloquent than I am. But please check that out. That is the first principle. These are the principles, the philosophical principles that we use when we're looking at these things. Does it promote peace? Does intervention in Syria and in the Civil War promote peace? No, because what happened is as we started to fund rebels, Russia saw an opportunity to fund Assad to project their own Russian power and say to the world, we are now going to protect our interests, and we are going to start funding and start rebuilding the Russian Empire. And then you end up with a proxy war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that hasn't been good for Syria. That hasn't been good for American taxpayers. That hasn't been good for Russian taxpayers. And worst of all, it's just killed a lot of children. It's killed, I think, 500,000 people. So it's been a significant problem. So that's how we view things. So principle number two, Harry, if you would read number two.
Principle number two, all contributions towards moving society in this direction are valued. We are nonpartisan. Our founder, Chris Spangle, spent 4 years working for the Libertarian Party of Indiana and votes Libertarian the majority of the time. Many of our co-hosts are Republicans. Some are former Democrats. Some are anarcho-capitalists that do not believe in voting. The principles of libertarianism transcend the empty vessels of political parties. If a libertarian is making progress towards a more free society, we think that is worthwhile.
Yeah, I think that just because I believe one thing, it doesn't mean that everybody else has to believe what I believe. And I try to bring on co-hosts who challenge my thinking, your thinking, and each other so that you can hear the full range of libertarian thought. And we have Democrats and Republicans on, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring on my friend Jenny, who is a hardcore Democrat at some point this year, because I want people to see somebody who is a Democrat that we agree a lot on stuff. Like, she's not evil. She's not awful. She's not a bad person. She just disagrees. And I want you all to see, like, okay, there's like, a lot of points where we agree with a Democrat. You know? So, because once you have a discussion with that person, you see there's value in what they're trying to do, and here's where we can work together. And I think we've really lost sight in this country on what makes us Americans. We have completely lost sight on the shared values that we have. And we now say, I only share values with people of my tribe. People who are libertarian are worth listening to. I'm only going to listen to Reason and Cato, and we are libertarians.
Yeah, mostly we are too.
Right. I'm only going to listen to the Daily Kos and Huffington Post. I'm only going to listen to establishment media. I'm only going to listen to Ben Shapiro and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
And we're libertarians.
I'm only going to listen to Donald Trump. Well, these are very dangerous. You're abdicating your right to think when you're having someone tell you what to think instead of engaging your brain. And you can only really engage your brain and have critical thinking when you're willing to listen to people who are different than you. There's the other part of this that I hate is that libertarians, like I just read LouRockwell.com. I like Murray Rothbard. I don't care for David Bowes. I think Steve Horowitz is terrible. Bleeding heart libertarians should be taken off the internet. Like...
Helicopter ride for you.
Okay, well, you may disagree with Stephen Horowitz or Sarah Squire or Jeffrey Tucker, but I bet you agree with them a lot more than you think. But if you read them, you might accidentally find that out, and you might accidentally like them.
Right.
So I just think that if people are trying to move society in a libertarian direction, that should be honored. I think if you're a Libertarian Party person, good. If you're a Republican Party person, good. Like, if you are in the Republican Party because of Rand Paul, I get that. If you're a person who votes Libertarian and you don't like the Republicans because they break their promises, I get that. Two things can be true at the same time. Rand Paul is good, and the Libertarian Party is good. You don't have to choose. It's not a binary choice. You can say, the Mises Institute is good, and so is the Cato Institute.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
are you saying things can have pros and cons?
Exactly. And
think, oh wow! At the same time.
So,
and are you trying to also rehumanize what people quote unquote will call the enemy? The
right.
Other?
Yes.
Are you trying to rehumanize them?
Yes. And I think we're too small of a movement in the libertarian movement to fight with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To say I'm not going to listen to anything that Lou Rockwell says. I get that. Like, there's a lot, like, Lou Rockwell to me is very negative. I don't really listen to him anymore because he's too negative. So I understand that, but it doesn't mean that Lou Rockwell isn't doing good work for the libertarian movement.
Correct, yeah.
So I just think we need to be a little more, we need to be nicer to each other. Like, we're on the same team, you know? And libertarians are so quick to, like, try and divide each other, and it just really is counterproductive and stupid. Have I called my share of people out? Absolutely. Do I regret it? Not always. Like, there's people like Charles Perallo that I don't regret calling out.
Who?
Right. see Michael Pickens. I don't regret calling him out because, yeah, he's doing some good work, but I also think that there's some problems with what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's plenty of people who've called me out.
Yeah, well, they're just... It when you call people out, usually you give good constructive criticism on why you're calling them
right.
out. It's just not like, no, I don't like him. He's I don't like him. He lives in New Hampshire, bald, he's got a beard. Don't
right,
like him.
Right.
You know?
No, like Roger and I couldn't disagree more.
Mm-hmm.
But Roger and I couldn't agree more. Like, Roger Paxton and I love to fight, but we know we agree on most stuff, but it's two different tactics.
Yeah.
So, number three, principle number three of We Are Libertarians.
Oh, yeah, this is the one that made me uninstall Facebook. The golden rule is the foundational principle of a libertarian society. Treating others as you'd like to be treated is a profound and straightforward precept for life. Who wrote this? Oh, it's the lights that's freaking with me. Okay, now I see it now.
Yeah, no, it's hard to read. Like, I need to get, like, a lamp here for when we... Because I have a really hard time reading the stories.
Screen, it's that light above me. Whoa. No, the screen's actually helping. Okay. All right. Wow, that's a... All right. Back... Sorry. So everyone that's following along, I apologize. It's a profound and straightforward precept for life. Every human is worthy of dignity and respect. We reject any ideology or policy that depends on stripping an individual or group of their humanity for implementation. We are not libertarians because of greed or selfishness. We are libertarians because government policy often strips individuals of their dignity and fails to provide them with the effective outcomes as detailed in our podcast. The cost, the human toll of public policy. We believe that the rules of good interpersonal relationships extend to the masses. While many libertarian outlets start with economics, we believe telling the human story is more relatable. Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, I triggered a lot of people by saying that the golden rule is the foundation of libertarianism. But not initiating force on others seems to sound a lot like the golden rule. They rejected it because it's inherently Christian, and I am a Christian, and I'm a believer in Christ. I have no shame in saying that, and there are a lot of atheist libertarians who really went, ugh, you said the golden rule. I don't care, because treating you – this is what they had a problem with. Treating people nicely is a really important thing to do if you want to get along in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have failed at this so many times, and I will continue to fail at this. But treating people with respect and dignity and love are things that I really think are important. And I try to apologize as oftentimes as I can when I fail at that stuff. And if you're not treating other people with respect and you're not treating them as you'd like to be treated, then you're not going to do well in a libertarian society.
Right.
Because you're not going – it goes back to the natural harmony of interests.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are not going to work with you to get what you want if you don't work with them to get what they want. It's the Zig Ziglar principle.
Mm-hmm.
If you help enough other people get what they want, they'll help you get what you want. If you don't know who Zig Ziglar is, that was weird, but my Zig fans out there, you loved it.
Anyways, yeah, this was you mostly see the libertarians that hate the golden rules are the creepitarians usually,
right.
That, you know, yeah, the golden rule people, they're the creepitarians. They hate that. They're the creepitarians. They're the people who's like, no, libertarians are jerks. Everyone I've ever met, well, they're all jerks. Like, I used to stay away from most libertarians in this city of Indianapolis because, you know, I used to, the first ones I ever met, they were complete and total jerks.
Right.
I was like, well, I don't even like, no, screw that party, screw them, you know, I'll just hang out with the two that I know and the rest of them are jerks. And then even when I introduce myself and I tell people, like, yeah, you know, I'm easy is the same thing, I'm a libertarian, but I'm an anarchist. And they're like, oh, you're a libertarian, you know,
right.
you guys can believe all this. I'm like, no, we will probably agree on most things if you, you know, relate to me. Like I tell people, like, I think a publicly free-funded education is an awesome idea. I just hate how you fund it.
Sure. You can totally have public education,
mm-hmm.
but it should be voluntary.
Yeah.
Voluntary versus force is a big concept.
Mm-hmm. And with the golden rules, is like it's more of like in treating others how you want to treat, like how you expect to grow the libertarian movement or just making more libertarians or just trying to get people to be more libertarian-leaning. If you know you're not nice to everyone, you know you have to walk and show your principles at all times, or people are just going like, nope, they're going to be a libertarian. That libertarian cut me off in traffic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, it really.
Uh-huh. I see one more Ron Paul sticker cut me off. I'm done.
And I think that if you like, I love the North Koreans. Like, I spent a lot of time this past year, studying North Korea, and the North Korean people are so cool. Like, they seem like really sweet, decent human beings. And I don't want to bomb them, and I don't want them to die in a nuclear war, because I have more empathy, love, and respect for those people and the terror that they live under. It is a traumatic, horrible situation what North Korea goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to go through that.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that I'm willing to bomb their country, and because it isn't Kim Jong-un that's going to die in an airstrike. It's innocent people. Like, it's...
Correct. Yeah.
So it is really taking a look at not only the people in front of you and the people that you're talking to, but also extending it to the enemies of our nation. When our government declares somebody an enemy, put yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people of Iran are not our enemy. The people of North Korea are not our enemy. The people in Saudi Arabia are not our enemy,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah, people in a city that I don't live in, and people there I have never met, are mad at people in a different country of people I have never met. That's who are mad at each other.
Right. It is somebody in Washington thumping their chest on Twitter at somebody in Pyongyang, mm-hmm. and they're mad at each other.
Yep.
But for the most part, at the end of the day, we're all exactly the same. We're human mm-hmm. animals. We want to wake up. We want to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
Then we want to eat a great breakfast
mm-hmm.
that fills our belly. Then we want to go do work that we love. Then we want to come home.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a great Chick-fil-A lunch in the middle.
Yep.
Then we want to come home. We want to have a great dinner with our family. Everybody's safe and secure. We want running toilets. We want to have another round of sex. Procreate, go to bed. Yep. That's the human experience. That's what everybody wants.
Yep.
Security, safety, sanitation, sex, procreation. Like, mm-hmm. that is the human experience. I will want to bomb Canada if they get in the way of any of that. But here in America, do they? Does Pyongyang and North Korea get in your way of a good meal? No. No. Do they get in the way of you getting laid? No. It's probably your own autism. Do they get in the way of you doing your job? No.
Yeah.
They will if they bomb us, but why are they going to bomb us? Because the United States government's threatening to bomb them.
Mm-hmm.
The people that get in the way of you procreating
mm-hmm.
and being prosperous
mm-hmm.
is the United States government
yeah.
more than anybody.
Yep.
So I have a really hard time being mad at other countries because I understand that some 34-year-old dude in North Korea is just trying to make a living and get by and get a girlfriend
mm-hmm.
like me. You know what I mean? Like, because that's the human experience. And when we demonize other people, or we demonize the left, or we demonize the right,
mm-hmm.
You know, we lose touch and we start to allow ourselves to be propagandized.
Mm-hmm. There's a great video on YouTube of South Koreans trying American barbecue for the first time. And that little video will just show you like how much the Korean people, especially Northern Koreans, would love to hang out, like especially in like
yeah.
you know, St. Louis and Texas. Getting some Texas barbecue,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would go there like, what? You've tasted? Have you tried this?
Yeah. All right, next principle, please.
Make me read all this. Government exists. Doesn't have to. Government exists, and politics will not cease in our lifetime. Many libertarian outlets do a great job explaining the result of libertarian beliefs, but we are not one of them. We support these ideas and believe the world would be better if we existed in a purely libertarian society. The reality is that our times demand a counter-argument to the Leviathan of the modern city-state. We believe in engaging in the debates of the day to insert a libertarian voice into to move our current government in a libertarian direction. Utopian scenarios are always exciting for the libertarian mind, but usually serve to drive libertarian curious individuals away from our movement.
Yeah, so I have really struggled over the course of the 6 years of the show trying to figure out what kind of content to produce. And you know, should I do what everybody else does, which is interview other libertarians about libertarian philosophy? Because that's really popular.
Like, yeah, super popular.
Yeah, like Tom Woods has like three times the listeners I do because he does that. Also, he's Tom Woods and he's brilliant. Like, he went to Columbia and he's Harvard and he's super smart. You know, so like Tom Woods does a really great job of explaining not only the libertarian philosophy, but current events too. He does a great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Mark Clare at Lions of Liberty does a great job of interviewing people about the libertarian philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do differently? Well, I can take current events and give you information on it. You spend an hour and a half listening to us talk about four or five different topics in the news. You're going to be better informed on it. You're going to have, you know, arguments for and against. You can make up your mind. Now, that means I have to work a lot harder because I have to go out and Harry and I have to prep stories for these shows. But I think at the end of the day, it sets us apart because we accept that government exists. Like, it's not going anywhere. If we all could take a vote tomorrow and end government, we wouldn't. Like, as a society, like, do you want to support the social contract? Like, talk to any of your friends. You all know what I'm talking about. The progressives had a 100-year plan to move us to socialism. Go read the 1912 platform of the Socialist Party with Eugene Debs. Barack Obama was the achievement of their dream. Like, we are on a long-term plan. Like, we have to start planning for the future hundreds of years in advance. Human society has been moving more and more and more towards freedom. It's only accelerating in the internet age. So let's take these principles, apply them to modern politics, apply them to the conversations that our friends are having, and start moving them more in a libertarian direction. Because people don't vote on philosophy. If you have two types of libertarian candidates, you know, Rand Paul really is popular because Rand Paul sticks up for people on the issues that are going on in the Senate, right? Whereas a Gary Johnson says, change every belief you have about everything and buy into this total libertarian philosophy. Well, it's much easier to get people to move in a libertarian direction if you take it brick by brick than asking them to just change their house overnight, you know? So I've just found niche in talking to people about the things that they're talking about, right? Instead of kind of this utopian view that government may not exist. Well, it's just not going to happen. Like, I call me a pessimist, but I just don't think that the United States government is going to lay down all of their arms in the next 40 years, 50 years, or however long I have, and say, we were wrong, you're right. Taxation is theft, government is force, and we now have a libertarian society.
Our bad.
Right. It's just not going to happen. So how do we move ourselves and our society in a more libertarian direction? That's what I'm trying to do. Roger Paxton listened to the show, said, you know what, I want to talk about current events from an anarchist point of view because I think I can do it better. And that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
More power to him.
Oh, yeah.
But I just find a lot of the time, like, anarchists usually in this, I'm not saying Roger does this, like, well, you don't trust the government to do X. Why would you trust it to do national defense? It's like, well, that's just not really compelling to me. Like, I want to know if you like the tax bill or not. What do you think of the tax bill?
Yeah.
I just don't like any taxes.
Okay.
Well, that's not really a convincing argument.
That was a very fast episode.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Roll credits.
Right. Next principle, sir.
You know, but just say the anarchists or the true libertarian national defense would be just paying for someone's head. I just want to put that
right. Yes, warlords. Right. We're back to Somalia. You people.
All right. We are libertarians will serve as an entry point into the libertarian movement. Acting as the entry point for those interested in the libertarian philosophy is one happy outcome of focusing on current events. We do our best to teach individuals about the entirety of the libertarian movement without bias. We will favor certain individuals and outlets. We recognize not every new person will have the same taste. We don't believe in shaming other libertarians for engaging in political activities that we do not personally find worthwhile.
So this is really striking at the annoyance of the people who, well, you can't listen to Democracy Now. It's not a libertarian outlet. You can't listen to Glenn Beck. He's not a libertarian. It also is – here, let me see that, please.
What about dancing at libertarian and, you know, national
without
conventions
without their shirts on
stage during a debate? Is that – that's an activity that I found worthwhile.
So what I have found is that, again, it goes back to that, like, if you're coming from the left – and I share something from the right, you go, ooh. And if you're from the right and I share something from the left, you go, ooh. So there's going to be those people who engage in what we do when you talk current events who are bringing their own baggage into the discussion. And I found that to be kind of annoying, but I understand it because, like, there's some liberals that I just really still hate from back in the Republican days. You know what I mean? Like, I still find myself more attracted to the people who hate the left. But
because it's so fulfilling.
It is, yeah.
Because the left, when they like, when you hit them with an article or something, they actually cry. When you hit the right, they're like, "Wow, that's an interesting article."
Right. But
cry, give me something.
So this is really trying me trying to say to all the new people, hey, we're looking at it from both sides. So we're trying to give you arguments. Stick with us, mm-hmm. okay?
Yep.
Just give us like three episodes at least, all right?
Or total picture.
Right. We're trying total to give picture. You a big picture. And you're not used to that because you're so used to, you know, you like I again, I really like Ben Shapiro, but Ben Shapiro has an annoying habit of saying the left. Right. You know, Tucker Carlson, again, really interesting show, lots of thought-provoking points on his TV show, but it's always the Democrats or blah, 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 blah. So you're used to going on to these news outlets from the left and right, and they're just picking on the other side. And so when you come to somebody who's trying to give you a full picture, you go, does not compute.
Yeah.
So,
and if anything, if you don't want to read HuffPo, you don't want to read Salon, you don't want to read Feminist Daily, don't worry, Spangle will for you.
Right.
And, you know, I'm pretty good here for you, so you don't have to read it.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. I love reading it because I know what I believe. I know my principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have no problem reading somebody that I think is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem reading Huffington Post and rolling my eyes. Mm-hmm. I watch CNN all the time. CNN is full of stupid. You know what I mean? So
I know. It's
bad.
Yeah, especially when the people try to say, like, stop saying CNN's fake news. Like, CNN's been fake news for 10, 20 plus years.
Right.
They're just getting caught now. That's all that is.
Exactly. So, you know, as an entry point for new libertarians, that's all I want to say, is we look at all sides. So mm-hmm. Go ahead. Next one. What number are we on?
I believe we are on number six.
Okay.
Nope. Sorry. Did I say six? I meant seven.
I just haven't changed the Roman numerals. I did it like as an outline initially, and then I should have done numbers because everybody made fun of me because I used Roman numerals on this.
Roman numerals.
I don't know. Libertarians love it, but apparently everybody else thinks it's stupid.
Well, libertarians are the right message, so.
Right.
Because it gives us prestige.
Right. Yes. These are principles, okay?
Yeah.
This is like, we don't use numbers on principles.
You know what's also most sad? Like, even if I do go home and try to finish that, you with the Ten Commandments down there, Stone's probably did like four of them by now and coloring them out.
It's Christian Emmons who's the dank memer.
Oh, is it? You think Christian's doing it? Yeah. Oh, man. Or someone else. Someone else is probably like working on it right now. Never should have said anything. Anyways, achieving liberty is a never-ending fight, and libertarians must invest in future generations. Progressives in the early 20th century planned to spend 100 years advancing their political goals. Libertarians must show the safe preparation and coordination to begin moving us towards principles of self-government. Those looking for short-term success will be frustrated quickly.
Yeah, so this really comes... Long-time libertarians get this, but newbies who are looking to, you know, I'm going to run as a libertarian, I'm going to win. No, you're not. Like, you're in this for the long haul. You need to run three cycles, okay? You need to run three different times to win that race, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a quick fix movement, okay? Conservatism is never a quick fix movement. I don't mean that in the Sean Hannity sense of the word conservatism. Because when you are trying to conserve certain institutions in society, or you are trying to restrain progress in certain ways, because progressives look at the growth of government and say, this is good. Well, we want to conserve and restrain and counteract. That's difficult. It's difficult because it's so rewarding for people to say, yeah, but I just feel so good making progress by voting for this Democrat. And I don't just mean that in the identity politics terms. I mean it in, well, we gave poor people a meal today. Well, no, you didn't. You gave bureaucrats a job, and you severely under-delivered on the promise to feed poor people. These are the realities that people don't want to hear. They want to feel good voting a certain way, and it doesn't feel good to say no. Okay? Yeah. Any parent knows that. And so it's uncomfortable to be on the opposite side of progress sometimes, but you have to look at it like we're progressing society towards a free more prosperous society.
Which is progress.
Which is progress. We have to flip the script a little bit. And so you have to be nice to each other, learn to work together. You have to pre-plan and always keep an eye that this is a long-term thing. You are doing things as a libertarian for future generations, maybe not for yourself. So it is really important that you keep that in mind, that you're not just doing this to win your immediate election. You're doing this to keep liberty alive for future generations because progress feels good, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you're just moving us away from individual liberty. We had this Constitution that was the greatest moment for human liberty in all of human history, and we've ruined it.
Yes.
So
it's not progress to get stuff from the government. That's regress, because you're getting stuff from the king.
Right. We are moving back towards a king that wants to take the fruits of our production. Therefore, it's not progress. It's regret. It's regress.
Yes, it's regress. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Next one, please.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as if you have something to say, go ahead.
I'm just going
to
say progressing towards an anarchist state.
Right.
You know, or minarchism, progressing towards it.
Listen, I'm happy to have my minarchist state next to Libertopia, okay? You and Roger can live next door, and I'll have my minarchist state with the Constitution as written, and, you know, you're free to move.
Next door will be in the clouds, in the sky cities.
In the clouds, right. Yep. I've seen Star Wars now. It doesn't sound all rosy, okay?
I'm going to be like Lando Calrissian in my cloud city, making deals. It's going to be a meme. Every individual can make societal change. This is number 8.
Okay.
The average individual has the power to influence modern politics with a post, a tweet, a discussion, a vote, or through their voice. Every act is an extension of their values and must be used wisely.
So this is something that really I just started to formulate and feel at the end of last year. And, you know, I've said for a long time that a vote is the extension of your values. And so if you wouldn't put your hand in Harry's pocket and steal his money, why would you vote for somebody else to? And I started to think about all this stuff during the Harvey Weinstein, you know, Me Too stuff, where, you know, you look at this guy, this YouTuber. This is going to date this episode a little, but there's a YouTuber that just went to the Japanese death forest. Where it's the super suicide forest. Okay,
talk about him.
I don't even know his name. I'm just saying. Here's my point.
Don't even search for it. Don't give him clicks.
So this guy showed a dead body. Okay, and it's incredibly distasteful, and it's a mistake. And he knew it was a mistake because he pulled the video down within 24 hours because he was doing it for clicks for his own. This is a great example of human behavior. I'll let you rant in a second, Harry. This is a great example of human behavior. Here is somebody who is acting in their own self-interest. They want clicks and money. Okay? So they're thinking about themselves. But then they do something and they go, and then society goes, hey, how about you be empathetic? That's somebody's son, brother, husband. Would you want that to be you? And they went, oh man, I'm a dick. Let me take this down. Lesson learned. Government didn't get involved. Human nature took over. The tribe said, that's not cool, dude. Okay. Over. We don't need to prosecute him. But now there's just these squads of people who were going, we need to remove him from YouTube completely. We need to take away his channel. We need to destroy his life. Because he made a mistake? You're being less empathetic than he was. you're doing the same thing. This guy made a mistake. He said, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I took it down. That's good enough for me. You know what I mean? He won't do that again. And he will think about the responsibility that he has as a voice as he posts YouTube videos. But the people who are trying to tear him down aren't thinking about their power as a person who can tweet. And so... yeah, we look at tweeting, Facebook posting, texting, as all this stuff is superfluous. It's just, it's meaningless. It's fluff. It's not. Because what you are contributing to is our culture. And if you don't want these squads coming after you in the future, you shouldn't participate yourself. If you want a libertarian society, if you want a moral society, it has to begin with you. It has to start with you. Freedom and all these different things, peace, has to start with you. What is the most peaceful interaction you can have with another human being? You have to start modeling it. You know, free markets, the virtue of production, these principles, they have to start with you. Okay, you have to understand that what you do every day at work is yours, and somebody's taking it away from you. And then you need to have a peaceful, logical discussion with them that they're wrong. And I look at where the culture is going on social media, and I just don't think that we're thinking about what we're saying. And Lord knows I'm as guilty of it as anybody, but I've started to really think, like, does this thing that I'm about to publish reflect my values? How does it make me look? Not in, does this make me look good, but in, am I reflecting the type of society that I want to build? Am I being a good example for my nieces? Am I being a good example for my listeners? Am I being a good example for libertarians, for Christians, for Christ? So I really have started to take every time I hit publish as a personal extension of my values. And does it reflect what I truly believe? And is this how I would treat somebody else? Because I just think it's important. And I think that the total sum of all of this conversation, it's like bees in a hive. This hive mind, you can easily pollute or you can easily clean based on how you publish.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you look at Gamergate and how all that kind of went on. I mean, it was vicious.
Whoa.
I was just trying to prod you into having an opinion, but I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry.
You leave Gamergate alone. There's a lot of people who fought on that war, okay? Veterans of that war.
Yes, Z.
To fight against, okay?
How many people did you kill in the war on Christmas?
It was just more like the Gamergate was just showing what happened when it was basically like a precursor to, like, you know, the whole, like, Trump election. It's like just showing, like, hey, these people are fake news. Like, the journalists are working against it. They're not, you know, on our mouthpiece. Right. We're getting actively working.
I don't want to get into Gamergate. I was just like, yeah. But what do you think about the point?
Yeah, the point is yes, everything you said is completely correct. Yes. Yeah, that's my, yeah.
All right. That's what I like to hear. All right, next one.
9. I'm shocked you put 9 on here because, like, Apple skipped, you know. I'm sorry. We embrace complexity and reject tribalism. Unless you're a Patriots fan, then it's a cult. Our new listeners and readers are always trying to determine our tribe. We reject the tribalism of modern politics and do not try to fit our content to curry favor with the biases of particular political movements. We are not right or left libertarians. We believe that there are valuable ideas from all different ideologies within global politics. We do not engage in flat, simplistic thinking. We reject propagandist tactics. Humans are complex animals that deserve in-depth study and analysis.
So, I think Steve Bannon is a piece of garbage. I think he's a terrible human. I'm completely disregarding everything I've said all in this episode, but I think Steve Bannon is somebody who is very good at propaganda and is very good at manipulating a certain segment of our population into believing in these certain memes that he creates. You take somebody like Mitt Romney, that the people he's manipulating voted for 4 years ago. Mitt Romney is an incredibly decent man. I don't agree with him politically on a lot of stuff, not much, but I think he's probably the best human being in terms of personal morals, Like, the worst thing they could find about Mitt Romney was that he one time put a dog on top of a car on a family vacation with the wife that he's been married to forever that he never cheated on. Like, he just seems like a very decent man. And during the Roy Moore stuff, in an effort to get an alleged child molester elected, he called into question Mitt Romney's service. You know, and for a guy who I don't think served in Roy Moore, for a guy in Donald Trump that didn't serve, George Bush, Al Gore, Bill Clinton, LBJ, all these people didn't serve. Like, it's just such a cheap political shot to try and diminish what Mitt Romney thinks in a cheap and easy way, as opposed to dealing with the very real and logical thought that Mitt Romney has. And so it's just a lot of logical fallacies are used by the Trump crowd, and the left does it too. Like, trickle-down economics, complete misnomer. It's called supply-side economics. And they believe that if you give capital to companies, they'll innovate, they'll create more supply, and the extra supply through innovation will create new demand, and therefore the economy will grow. Okay? At what point does any of that have to do with the rich or trickling down to the poorest of society? Like, trickle-down economics is a propagandist term to diminish the views of people who are not demand-side economics, where they say, like, if we give everybody $300 in a tax cut, then they'll go out and spend it, and that will stimulate the economy. Okay, whatever. I don't agree, but... I mean, it does, but it's $300 a year.
Yeah.
So
it could do much.
Right. So we just...
it's just an Xbox, bro.
Right. We have to be really careful when we're listening to these people talk, and they're taking complex situations and trying to use, like, oh, they just don't want to do the jobs. Well, that is it's cliches, I guess, is really what irritates me. Cliches. Jonah Goldberg wrote a book called The Tyranny of Clichés. It is... God, I wish I were as smart as Jonah Goldberg. This book was so phenomenal. There's another podcast that everybody should go listen to. It's called Atlantic Interviews. It's a different Goldberg. I think it's Jeff Goldberg. Interviews. He's the not that Goldberg. They do play Who's Your Favorite Goldberg in the episode, but Jonah Goldberg, I think it is, actually. The editor of The Atlantic interviews people. The one with Jonah Goldberg was excellent. Masha Gessen was unbelievable. It's just a really good podcast. But Jonah Goldberg wrote this book called The Tyranny of Clichés, where he picks apart the clichés of the left and... It just is like, oh, this is so good. Really good book. Highly recommend it. And that's what this is about. Quit arguing cliches. Quit arguing simplistic binary thinking. Quit engaging in discussions that are just silly. Like net neutrality. Nobody was even arguing what Ajit Pai was doing. Everybody was arguing vague straw men. And it was so irritating. Mm-hmm. You know, and somebody wrote in, I haven't really dived into it yet, but somebody listened to our episode and they wrote the Facebook page and they gave this very like thoughtful response to what we said in the net neutrality episode. And I really appreciated that because there's somebody who disagrees with our point of view on that episode and they were not, they like had facts to counter what we said. Awesome. Might even interview the guy because he was so thoughtful. And didn't just, you know, call me a baby killer and your internet's going away and blah, blah, blah. So the world is complex. Again, two things can be true at the same time. Three things could be true at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like Jonah Goldberg can be smart.
Yes.
He's on the right. Mm-hmm. Ezra Klein is also smart. And he's on the left. Like, you know what I mean? So... They are right and wrong about certain things, and just because they are right about some things and wrong about others, it doesn't mean they're totally wrong. You should never listen to them.
Yeah, it's like Jordan Peterson, incredibly smart.
Yep,
Canadian.
Wrong. All right, next one.
Ten. we treat modern politics with all of the irrelevance it deserves. Political commentary is boring. We recognize the serious outcomes of politics while not taking it too seriously. We believe that humor is a useful tool to explain complex ideas. Our podcast reflects a kitchen table conversation as opposed to experts sitting at a news desk.
So forever, the tagline of this podcast has been all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. And this is a phrase that I came up with in the very early days of this podcast because I wanted to do a show that was a group of friends sitting around talking about politics. And I've been hugely influenced by the Bob and Tom Show, the Howard Stern Show, and Glenn Beck, how he has his best friends hanging out on the air, basically. It's like three or four people. You know, and I love, those are my favorite parts. Those are my favorite types of podcasts. The Mike O'Meara Show is a great podcast that has been hugely influential on me. And it's friends hanging around talking. That's the best, that's the best listen in a podcast. And I wanted to structure the show like that. And because you're structuring a show like that, where you're allowing curse words and you're allowing jokes and inside jokes and kind of but you're talking about politics where everybody thinks you need to be serious and solemn and earnest. I wanted to have a tagline that would essentially say, like, don't expect us to be Meet the Press. And so I started using all of the irreverence modern politics deserves, because then when people would say, you're memes, well, you're doing memes, how can we take you seriously? Look at our tagline, right? So I still believe that. I think if you listen to the show now versus 6 months ago, there's way more substance than there was fluff. We're getting right into the topics. We're not chattering. We're not chatting as much as we used to, because in talking to a bunch of people after the show had a big change in co-hosts late last year. It just seems people liked the substance that made them smarter with their friends than they liked the irreverence.
Mm-hmm.
But they still like the irreverence. So some of the Thursday shows will still continue to be irreverent. Like, I'm going to have my friend Caitlin Kopetsky of Blonde and Brunette's YouTube channel, the Blonde and Brunette YouTube channel where they teach you drink mixing.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Jeff Vibbert of the Jeff and Caitlin did the Jeff Vibbert podcast, which is still out there, even though it's on hiatus. you know, I'm going to have them on because it's going to be fun. We're going to chat, and there will be less politics and more fun. You know, we're still going to do some of that, but by and large, I really feel like the mission of the show through 2018 needs to be, hey, let's get to the stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have fun throughout. The Thursday show will be a little looser than the Tuesday shows with Harry and I, but it still is in our DNA to not take things too seriously, because even though this is all serious and it is dangerous stuff, doesn't have to be that serious when we're talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and you're going to need some of those Thursday shows, especially going into this election year. It's going to get brutal.
Yeah.
It's going to get brutal.
Well, I think just as, you know, doing two shows a week now, it's, I got to have fun at some point. I'm not saying this isn't fun. It's a different type of fun.
I'm just talking about the political fights that are going to happen.
Because, yeah.
You know, the left and the right are going to keep swinging at each other.
Like, we love memes. I love memes.
Love memes.
So much. You know, we encourage the posting of memes and jokes, and, you know, like, I want people to be authentic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're going to be authentic, you need to be, people are funny and engaging and like to say curse words in their real life. And I just hate when people crack a microphone and don't be them, they're not themselves, they're trying to be something different. And so I just want anybody that sits down at this table to be authentic and real, and you know, it's except Tad.
Yeah.
Tad Western.
Tad is real. Okay.
The fake cowboy. But yeah, like, because I want this to reflect the conversations of our generation at this time. And
Hashtag bring back Tad Talks.
I know. Tad Talks, get your ass in gear. So yeah, I've tried to tone down the cursing. I've tried to tone down a lot of the more blue material.
Thank you.
But it's still there. And I think that, you know.
I would appreciate the lack of swear words from you.
Shut up, Harry.
You know. Yeah, just for
anyone. I don't think I've ever heard you swear, to be honest.
I've sworn on this podcast before.
Have you?
Yeah, I think like 6 times maybe.
Okay.
There's several times. I'm sure there's several times. I think several times I got upset and I said a swear word.
Right.
Very rare.
Harry, what principles was I missing? The Harry Bill of Rights, what addendums would you make to this?
Honestly, there's not one that I would have made. To me, even when I read it, when you first posted it and I read it, and I was like, this is awesome that you put down to paper what we've kind of worked on, usually verbally, just on paper. It was neat to see on paper, and I was so excited. And I remember even on that like episode on Twitch, when I was talking on Twitch, like I was so excited, wanted to talk about it. It was like, I'm going to wait for him, but it's like, I loved it, because it's just concentrating on like, what was this podcast about? Yeah, you can give them about page, but this is so much better. Like here, boom.
Yeah,
well, here's a nice guideline for you.
Yeah, because I think if you're going to, you don't have time. Okay, anybody listen to this podcast? I have 1,000 podcasts in my Downcast app. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Apple iTunes podcast app is garbage. Listen on Downcast, but spend the money on Downcast. It's a great app. I've used it for 5 years. I love it. Maybe longer, but it's a great app. And so
I use Google Play Music.
Yeah, if you're on Android, we're on Google Play too. But and that's good.
Yeah, I like it. It auto downloads 3 episodes for me, and I like it.
Yeah, so I just think that if you can just tune in, look at the 10 principles, go, yeah, these guys, this is what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just not trying to. Do a show for a certain segment of people. I'm trying to do a show for what I find interesting anymore. I've experimented. I've tried different things. I've tried to curtail content to certain audiences, and I'm just not doing that anymore. I don't know that we ever did. I'm just trying to build our own little cool's a strong word, clique of people that appreciate politics in the same way.
My mom says I'm cool.
Right. Well, that's... I met your mom, dork. So, but I know your mom liked one of my photos the other day, and mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, Harry's mom, she's so cute. She's a very sweet lady."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Careful, she's driving out Saddam Mercedes everywhere now.
So yeah, I
should get that show picked.
I just want to give everybody a quick glance. Here's what we're about. Are you in? Or are you out?
Yeah,
you know, and then give us some time. Like, check your biases a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and give us some time. Hear us out, and if you like it, please. Best thing you can do. There's several things that you can do. Okay, first, go like our social media stuff. Go to WeAreLibertarians.com. Like the stuff there. Go to WallPolitics.com. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff there. You're welcome to go to ChrisSpangle.com and follow me on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly happy to have new followers on Twitter and friend requests and all that good stuff. Slide in my DMs. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Send me email, editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. I want to interact with you guys. If you have questions, please send those in. If you want to meet other people in the community, join at Discord or on the Facebook group. You can join at WeAreLibertarians.com, both of those. Then the next step is share with your friends. Like, spread the word. The best way to grow for this podcast is for you to tell your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, turn us on to other people that are in your world and share the joy of We Are Libertarians with them.
Yeah. Share one episode a week. Just at least one.
Yeah, on Facebook. Just go to the website and share it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Tweet it out like, hey, I'm listening to this right now.
Yes.
I'm listening to this today.
Yeah, you guys have been great about tweeting us when you're listening and how much you like it. Like, when you tweet at We Are Libertarians, then what I'm able to do is retweet that, and it looks so much cooler when one of our audience is saying, I love this podcast, than when I'm saying, I love my own podcast, yeah. Right? So if you tweet at We Are Libertarians and talk about how much you like our show, mm-hmm. and what it has meant to you, or you give us a recommendation, I will retweet you. Mm-hmm. And you can show off to your friends that you're famous now. Mm-hmm. Rating and reviewing on iTunes is not something I've hammered on a lot. It is really important that you go and give us 5-star reviews and leave a nice review. Leaving anything less than a 5-star review, don't. I don't care. Mm-hmm. There are some funny negative 2 and 1-star that are funny, but like the more reviews that we get on iTunes, the better we will do in their rankings. And if we can get to the top 100 of news and politics, we can be a major force in media. Okay. So it is really helpful. Yeah.
Michael W. Dean always said that one of the most libertarian thing you can do all day is to actually review an item.
Yes.
Or review something. You like something, review it. Because that's part of that market self-checking. If you like it,
right.
tell someone that you like it. You bought something, you love it, you love this thing, tell people.
Yeah.
You know, rate it, review it.
Not just in iTunes. You can do it in the Google Play Store. You can do it in the Stitcher Store. You can do it on TuneIn. We have a radio station. If you've got an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, just say, play We Are Libertarians, and we'll play our tune-in channel where I just have 24/7 a loop of all of our shows. You can tune in. It's really cool to just, like, turn that on and just listen to, like, something from 2 years ago mm-hmm. and, like, hear, like, oh, I remember that. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Most importantly, sharing with your friends, but second most importantly is donating on Patreon. Third most importantly is signing up for the email newsletter at wearelibertarians.com. But Patreon, like I mentioned earlier, Patreon allows me to do so much more stuff. Like it costs $60 a month to run the radio station. Our web hosting costs $75 a month. I've got probably $100 to $200 in news subscriptions because, like, as much as I read the New York Times, I've got to have a subscription, for instance. There's those $10 subscriptions that you sign up for really add up over time. And so the Patreon stuff really helps to go offset the costs. And I'm also stashing it away so we can do advertising. I'd love to do advertising later in the year. We're launching a new project that airs next Thursday, 2 days from now, 3 days from now, called The Horse Race. Love to advertise that to promote libertarian-leaning candidates. So, yeah, I mean, financial support is incredibly huge because the more resources that you as an audience give me, the more I'm able to do to expand what we're doing here. And eventually, the ultimate expansion is that I can do it full-time. And I can do a daily show, and I can pump out news and content like you wouldn't believe. So just cutting through all the BS. All right. So, yeah, and in exchange, most importantly, you get another show. You get, like, an extra show a week,
mm-hmm.
like 30 to 90 minutes of extra content that you're not going to get in the RSS feed. Because here's the deal. Like, we use Patreon, which is the patron model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Machiavelli, the prince, he said to the Medici family, you guys are the best. You're so great. You have big hands. At the beginning of the prince, because they were his patrons. Mm-hmm. Galileo had a patron. These rich people would basically keep scientists and thinkers and inventors on their payroll basically to show off to their friends. It was like having a cool statue. Well, I've got Michelangelo on my staff. Well, there's not a lot of people who are going around just handing out millions of dollars to live like back in the day. And so what Patreon did is it created a system for you to be a patron of the arts you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enjoy a podcast or an artist or a musician, you can donate per song, per podcast, per month to the things that you like. Because we're now in a society where I don't ever want to be owned by a corporation. Like I work for corporations. Like, I work for other people. I don't ever want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be Leo Laporte, where Leo Laporte has his own world and his own playground for he and his friends,
mm-hmm.
and they do cool stuff, and everybody likes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to have to sell this or anything to anybody. I want to just be completely independent. And to do that, I need your support. And if you the more you support us, the more cool stuff you get. You get $25 a month, you get a poster. $100 a month, you get access to me whenever you want. Our $400 a month, Brandon Luke, Craig DaCosta, Jason Doolittle, Christy Avery, whatever they want. They want me to FaceTime with them. Well, within reason. If they wanted to FaceTime every day, I might have to have a conversation, a tough conversation. But, you know, like, you get access. You get access to our Trello where we do show prep. You get behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't get anywhere else. You get to say, hey, where'd that co-host go? And I'll tell you. So yeah, I mean, that's the $100. You just become a very special friend. Yeah. So
yeah, the Trello board is where it's at, though.
Jason Doolittle took our poster and, like, put it in the prettiest frame.
What?
It's so cool. I'll show you after the show.
Oh, man.
But Jason's coming in here in the next couple months, and we're very excited about it. So
can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Very awesome. Thank you so much for joining us here in this episode. Harry, final thoughts for the episode?
I'm just going to reiterate some of the things that Chris said with that. Like, if you look at it and you, if your first glance, like, oh, I hate some certain points, but I agree on certain points, good. Yeah, you're not supposed to like everything.
Right.
And also just, you know, let it grow on you. Think about it for a few days, you know. And if you don't like something, respond back to this. Also, if you do like something, respond back to this too. So, you know, Chris would love to hear that you like it or certain things that you really like it. There's certain rules on here that I like more than others. The other thing is, just like Chris also said, if you want to come out and hang out, yeah, join the Discord. Friday nights, we do have game nights. I do stream sometimes, but to the Twitch page. The Twitch page, I use that to just vent in between shows. So yeah, go ahead over there if you want to watch me vent, talk. I don't like Chris try to push me to do more shows over there. I might, you know, depending on, you know, if I get enough people to come over there and actually want to watch, I'll do it.
You have to do it to gather an audience.
I know.
It's the Pied Piper thing. If you don't do it, like, people
are... I don't know what day I should do it on. I don't know what time I should do it
whenever
on.
Whenever you want. Just whenever. Just start doing it. That's what I'm saying. Like, listen, here's to all you potential creators out there, okay? You just start doing it. I am 6 years into this. We're in the top 1% of podcasts. We have 7,000 on average listening every episode. We're adding 1,000 people a month. We have $1,000. 100 people donate on Patreon. Like, we are legitimately a successful podcast at this point. Like, yes. I still don't consider us successful because we're not at my level where I want to be. Yes, I pulled a hangnail. Thank you. And I'm bleeding everywhere. So if you know me for any length of time, I bleed out of holes all day long. Nosebleeds.
Every hole. But like, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I am tweaking this thing constantly. I'm constantly learning from my audience what they want and what they expect. I'm learning new things about how to present information. I'm learning new things about how to analyze politics. I'm learning. And you have to just start doing because this is a practice. Broadcasting is a practice. Like, a doctor is a practice. A therapist is a practice. A lawyer is a practice. A teacher is a practice. It is something that you just have to start doing and getting experience. And creative work is really about doing, because you have to get over that hump of, I don't know if the world wants to hear from me. Well, no, nobody wants to hear from you. But, like, after a certain period of time and you get better, you know, after podcasting for 10 years, 7,000 people an episode, 15,000 people a week want to hear from me. But it took 10 years of doing it for free, and I still basically do it for free. I get paid like $200 a month to put in 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? Like, you essentially, like, you have to just do it, and then you build an audience over time. So you just, like, if you're out there thinking, should I do this creative project? Should I do this music project? Should I write this book? Should I do this podcast? Should I, you know, paint this piece of art? Like, yes, you should just do it. Yeah. And you're going to suck for like 10 years. Well, and then people are just going to pay you to do it.
Yeah. Well, I do have one. I am definitely going to do one more. I've been trying to line it up right now. I just got done talking to Joe to get him to come on to do a dad show.
Cool.
You would, like, you know.
Love Joe Ruiz.
I know. I'm going to ask some dad questions, first-time dad questions and stuff like that. You know, I've been a dad for about, what is it, 7 months now, so.
Yeah.
You know, I still have questions, you know. And I'm going to try to collect them from Joe and see if I can get some other wall dads on, want to jump on.
Wall dads.
Yeah. The wall dad show. It's going to be great.
The white shoe crew. Yep. Yep. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. My name is Chris Spangle. That is Harry Price. From the dozens of people that bring you We Are Libertarians, we just say thank you for all the growth that you have given us over the last 6 years. We are so excited to head into 2018, and we are so excited to see where this goes over the next years. And we can't do it without you. We want to hear from you. We want to be your friends. So please, Discord, Facebook group, join us. Send us a note. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us here in this episode, and we will see you on Friday. Until then, be good to each other. I never know how to end anything.